You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This is why we should never put celebrities in charge of any... Oh, wait.
The Wire. Artificial intelligence and generative AI have seen a major uptick in usage over the last 2 years, with impacts across society. Of particular note is the impact on education, with students using artificial intelligence to brainstorm, write, or edit their assignments. I spoke to Dr. Sarah Bickerton from the University of Auckland about issues with generative AI in education and what educators can do about it. What kind of impact is artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI, having on education in the short term?
Well, the major thing we're seeing at the moment is that the wider context of AI is in the midst of a hype cycle. We've seen this with a number of technology developments up to now, crypto being before that. You can go all the way back to the late 90s, early 2000s dot-com bubble. Yeah. What generally happens with technology hype cycles is that there is new technology emerges onto the scene, and then there is a massive flash of investment and hype regarding promises of what it'll achieve, et cetera, et cetera. And then that peaks, and then with the realities of the technology developing, and we understand how we can use it and embed it, and the pros and cons, et cetera, et cetera, and then it drops off again, for better or worse. Now, I have a personal rule of thumb for technology hype cycles. That's called the 80-20 rule, where at most, 80% of what is promised by a new technology is possible.
Right.
And more often than not, most of them don't even make that. Now, the AI hype cycle is a little bit different from crypto, because there is a technology that's useful. And when you're getting into the question of the ramifications for education, what arrived in the scene at the end of 2022 going into 2023 was when this started to blow up particularly, was the arrival in the scene of a different type of AI that had been around for quite some time, but primarily as an academic exercise. And suddenly it started to get to enough critical mass of ability that people suddenly became interested in. Now, as opposed to the if-then statements of the traditional algorithmic AI, generative AI works on what's called a probabilistic neural map. In other words, it's basically given one case, and by case I mean a particular situation, what's the next most probabilistic outcome for that?
Right.
Okay? And then given that, what's the next most probabilistic one? Okay? So it doesn't pay any attention to the content of what the case is. It's merely mapping things out probabilistically in a neural map, a network of connections between things. And that's how generative AI works. And the current AI hype bubble has been around developments around generative AI. The consequences for education for generative AI requires you to understand that distinction between generative and the previous ones, because generative AI doesn't care about the content. It cares about what's the most probabilistic next outcome. It doesn't, it's like, that's why it does the six finger thing on hands and stuff like that, because it doesn't have a content rule that tells it that you've got four fingers and a thumb on a hand. And you can't put that in there because that's not the model it operates with. So now the consequences for education is that generative AI works really, really well for natural language processing. Okay, so if you've ever typed in instructions to generative AI, to ChatGPT, whatever, you'll get a response that's far more human appearing than your traditional algorithmic AIs, okay? And that's where you can see the differences between, say, Siri and these new ChatGPT functions. Now, the problems for education is that, you remember I mentioned that it doesn't actually matter what the content is, okay? So what is true or false doesn't matter, okay? we will have heard some stuff recently about Gemini, Google's assistant, and the thing it went live in beta, and it was recommending that people eat rocks and those kind of things. Now, what's important to realize is that that is not the AI, the generative AI, working in a broken manner.
Mm.
Okay, it's not broken when it does that. It doesn't distinguish between something we determine as true or someone we determine as false, because all it's going from is its probabilistic map. Okay? So the idea that it might produce a wrong outcome doesn't matter to the AI.
Yeah.
Because how it generates an answer isn't algorithmic, where you could go in and change the algorithm. It's literally a really complex neural map. It's functioning as it's designed to. And that's what we term an hallucination, because it's not doing something wrong. It's hallucinating an answer that isn't true.
Yeah.
Okay. So understanding that, now you can see the immediate consequences for education in this, because it can't, because we can't rely on any output from generative AI being correct. That has massive ramifications for education. Now, does it work really well in terms, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of natural language processing? Yes, it works excellent as a chatbot. It does a really good job at that kind of stuff. I'm fully expecting a lot of our voice-based bot interactions to be really far more complex and good than than the previous algorithmic ones, who were really narrowly constrained. Every time you got the, "I'm sorry, can you rephrase that?" Response out of a traditional bot, that's when you're running into those hard expectations. Whereas contemporary generative AI bots, I'm expecting a lot more complexity and being able to deal with that. But when it comes to education, the actual correctness of a fact matters. And not just a fact, but how do you go about something? How do you treat critical thinking? How do you apply a certain theory to a set of applications? How do you analyze the world around you? You cannot rely on the output being correct. That gets really problematic in education when you're kind of relying on things being correct when you're teaching. So is a generative AI application in such things like Grammarly something that you would use? Yes, 100%. Yeah, it can improve your English. But if you're relying on it to summarize a text for you, to pull out what the major hit points are between a journal article is, which I think university students should be aware of, it's not that they're always going to be wrong. The thing that you're going to have to be concerned about is can you rely on their output? And the thing is that we amongst a bunch of us that work in this area talk about is that the output on a subject that you don't know really appears to be convincing, because it's said authoritatively, it coherently comes out. It comes out in a way that is intelligible to us, and we take it for granted. But you can't rely on it being. It may be true, but you can't rely on it being true, and that's the major consequences for education. So I say that one of the things that I've talked to educators and written articles for educators at the primary and secondary level, and the question, of course, is, oh, should we just ban this? And I say yes and no. It's good to have good policies around AI use, in the same way that we have plagiarism, we have academic integrity policies around that. That's good. But the thing is, students are still going to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I say that may up front, let the students know what the consequences if they attempt to turn a piece of work in, if they've used AI to generate the content. Same thing as you would normally historically do for plagiarism, because it's not the student's work.
Yeah, with that, just getting into those, I guess, those consequences, do we have the tools currently to be able to recognise, you know, fully whether something is AI or not? How are we working through that moving forwards, you know?
We don't really. There's pieces of software out there that claim to varying degrees to be able to determine it. Unfortunately, I tend to find that they have high degrees of false positives and also then false negatives, where they let stuff go through that isn't. What you generally notice as an educator is there are certain flags for you in a reviewed piece. You notice that the phrasing changes, language use changes, the citation styles we use. There may be even inclusions from the output that are that refer to the question being asked that are included that may not be part of the actual question for, say, an essay or something like that. And so those are the things that you notice. I mean, I'm not going to preclude that eventually the software will be advanced enough to pick that up, but I don't think it's really there yet, unfortunately.
That was Dr. Sarah Bickerton from the University of Auckland speaking to me about issues with generative AI in education.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.